Welcome to the Community Conversations podcast, where we believe that world transformation begins with gospel transformation, and gospel transformation begins with discovering the truth about who God is and who you are. And it starts right now.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back to another episode of the Community Conversations podcast. My name is Brian Hess, and once again, I'm here with the great Stephen Wakefield.
Hey, everybody. I feel like hair care. Hi. The moon was made of spare ribs. Would you eat it? Hi.
That is like probably one of my favorite Will Ferrell SNL skits.
Absolutely.
Just unbelievable. I love that character.
Yeah.
Yeah, so good. And it's funny too, having grown up in Chicago, which I was pretty young when Harry Carey was actually doing that, doing his thing. But yeah, that was just his portrayal of that character is just
spot on.
Spot on.
Yeah.
So funny. How are you doing?
Doing great.
Yeah.
Yeah. How are you?
Good. I'm good. I'm good. Today's been kind of a slower day for us.
Yep. Yep. So, us too.
Yeah. Yeah. Which is good.
Yeah.
And you and I were talking about this earlier, but you know, Sunday is an extremely busy day for both of us. It's very full. And so it's hard because I'd like to come into Monday ready to start, like hit the ground running as if I'm entering a new week. But I feel like I'm coming out of such a, such an exhausting day that I feel like Monday morning has kind of become a little more routine for us to have just like a little bit of a slow start. Yeah. I'm not up super early and I we're kind of taking our time.
Yeah. So Monday almost feels like an end of a week more than a more than a beginning of a week, you know?
And that's hard because Monday is also an extremely full day.
Yes.
So, but it's been good. We're doing good.
Yeah, it's great.
Yeah. So yesterday, as of recording this, yesterday in church we started. We had our first week of our first emphasis.
Yep.
And so that was fun. Launching into that.
Yeah.
And it's been fun just kind of seeing the blueprint for this laid out for us.
Yeah.
And I've had lots of conversations with people, even like outside of our church, and just explaining, like, you know, because we were kind of wrestling with what does discipleship look like on a corporate level.
Yeah.
I think Jesus gave us a pretty good model for like personal discipleship.
Right.
But, and I think, you know, even some maybe corporately too, but when you have a group of people that you're trying to take, and that group of people is changing and growing.
Yeah.
And it's like, what kind of system can you put in place for discipleship?
Right.
So that everybody's going at the same place, the same place at the same time with commonality and unity. And so,
Discipleship is one of those interesting things where like most people, when they're looking for a church, it's normally, is the worship great and kind of my style, or is the preaching great and kind of my style?
Yeah.
But discipleship is actually like the depth of it. It's like, we can have a great worship set and, you know, the presence can come and then like what happens the rest of our week, you know?
Right.
And I think I love the model that we've kind of developed and we're starting into, because it just, as far as we can do without programizing everything, we're just trying to make sure that we're all talking about the same thing consistently. So whether it's our social media, our podcast, our Sundays together, our communities together, we're talking about the same thing so we can, as a full community, be developing at the same time on certain topics. I think it's great.
Yeah. Yeah. I think it's really healthy. I think it's necessary. And, you know, one of the things, and this is something I think we've had trouble with in the past, but it's not just us. I think it's like pretty much every church I've been a part of or have seen has fallen into this trap of speaking too broadly and too shallow.
Yep.
And so, you know, you can have a group of people that understand this much about this many things.
Oh yeah.
Or a group of people who understand this much about the few things that we find are most essential to the life of a follower of Jesus. Yeah. And so that's what we're trying to cultivate here.
Yeah. Yeah. The other pitfall too in preaching is typically you're either preaching to one of two audiences. Like you're an extremely seeker, quote unquote, seeker friendly church.
Yeah.
So every message is like about as basic gospel level as you can.
Yeah.
or you hit the other pitfall of just preaching to the person who's been a longtime believer. And this allows the person from anywhere in that spectrum to be developing the things that are like pillars of the faith, you know? So if you're brand new to the faith, formation is going to be just as poignant and like important for you as a 50-year believer.
And so these eight topics that we've settled into as our emphases, every single one of them is something that I think we need to be sitting in for the rest of our lives.
Yeah.
Like there's not going to come a point in your life where you think like, I probably don't need to know anything else about worship or prayer or scripture, you know?
Yeah.
There's just, each of them is just an endless well that we can just go searching for truth and for growth.
Yeah.
So,
it's good too, because I feel like it removes, you know, depending on how engaged in the emphasis you'll be, but it really removes, like each person is kind of drawn to one thing, I think.
Yeah.
Like I'm really heavy on worship, mission.
Yeah.
But like, if you want to talk about solitude, nah, man.
That's not me.
That's not me.
Yep.
Like slowing down to do like something not with people, not really the vibe, man.
Yeah.
So it like forces, you know, and everyone's different. Everyone's drawn to different, you know, spiritual disciplines within those things.
Yeah.
But I think it's really good because it forces us to really confront those things. You know, what are areas that, yeah, I'm really strong naturally in, but what are some areas that I'm really not being spiritually formed in because it's just not really my personality or, you know, whatever.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep. That's really good. And I think you hit it right on that. There are things like for me, like a simplicity and a silence and solitude and these kind of things that, that Noah will be talking about later on in a couple of weeks. Those are things that are, come very naturally to me.
Yeah.
But then we're going to get into like mission and we're going to get into some other things.
Yeah.
It's like, well, I don't naturally gravitate towards that. And so, but you're right. I don't want to make, my personality something that I set up for excuses and allowances to not be formed and shaped in those areas.
Right.
If anything, I probably need to, I need that more than I need silence and solitude.
Yeah. Yeah, totally.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah. So last night, we got into kind of an intro to formation.
Yeah.
Just kind of a general understanding. And it's hard because it's a big topic.
Yeah.
And it's, you know, I did my best to bring preliminary understanding without overwhelming.
Yeah.
Just because it's, even for me, there's still just a lot about this. That's like, there's just a lot to understand and a lot to know.
Yeah.
And so, we're trying to find a way to, you know, make things not more complicated than they need to be.
Right.
Because Jesus had this idea that like, well, unless you have the faith of a child or unless, you know.
Yeah. Yeah.
And so I'm thinking, okay, I want to make, like, I believe that the kingdom is set up in such a way that it could be understood by a child.
Yeah.
And so how do we communicate the reality of the different dimensions of who we are and how they're needing to be formed. How do we package that in such a way that is understandable to everybody?
Yeah.
So that's kind of where we're at and what we're looking for right now.
Yeah. I think you did a great job too. Talking about, one of the pictures that you used that I thought was really good, talking about how the Spirit is like the CEO of all the outer layers of your life. You know, it's the driver of everything else.
Yeah.
And I think that perfectly captures kind of the goal of what spiritual formation is.
Yes.
You know, if you can really form the Spirit, everything else comes naturally. Mm-hmm. And even just the idea that we talk about a lot, just kind of pushing against like the legalistic religious nature and accepting who you are at the point of salvation.
Mm-hmm.
The thing that makes it easy to work out your salvation is when you spend time with the Lord consistently and let him form your spirit.
Right.
You know,
yeah.
When you just try and white knuckle change in your life, it's not lasting.
No,
it never is.
Yep.
But if you can let the Lord consistently be forming your inner self, your spirit, not just your soul, but like your spirit.
Yeah.
Everything else just kind of falls in line naturally.
Yeah.
And then instead of always trying to work on your behavior just follows your spirit as your spirit leads, it follows the Lord, you know?
Yeah. And it's, and that was Dallas Willard's analogy, the CEO analogy.
Yeah.
And he even said like to the CEO, his ideal world is one in which every single employee does exactly what he wants them to do.
Yeah.
But that's pretty unrealistic
right.
in that sense. But that's the goal of where of yeah. where we're heading is that, and here's the thing about, I don't know if I explained this well, but so the, our will is what gives us the power and ability to initiate and to make a choice and to create and do all of those things. But the action that we take is not necessarily up to just the will alone.
Right.
Because often the will is under pressure from things in our mind.
Yep.
We have thoughts and we have feelings, and they're putting this unrelenting pressure on the will to act. And then our bodies get accustomed to acting that way.
Yep.
And so it's just it's becoming aware.
Yep.
It's becoming aware of how I think, of how I feel, of how I act.
Yeah.
And allowing, just like you said, I think that's probably the simplest way we can boil it down, is just being present with the Lord and positioning yourself in such a way that you're available for Him to tell you who you are, and also to help that reality take root in all these different dimensions. In
oh,
us.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I found just in my own life, the times where I feel closest to the Lord, the times where I feel like my actions and my behaviors match who I want to be, are the times that I look back and go, man, I was really consistent in the Word in that season.
Sure.
Or, ooh, I remember every window of time I had that was just kind of like dead space. I wasn't scrolling. I was spending time in the presence. I was praying, talking to God.
Yeah.
And those, it's interesting because I wasn't trying to do those things so that I could change behaviors. My behaviors just kind of followed, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah. Our faith is built doing that, you know, our expectancy for the Lord to show up in our life, both personally and through us. Those things just, they naturally just seem to follow when we give the Lord the time that, you know, He wants. Yep. He wants with us.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The behavior and the action we take is, it's just the natural output of being transformed internally.
Yeah.
And it's so upside down and backwards from how we want to do it.
Yeah.
Because we want to work really hard at changing our own behavior and, you know, behavior modification and sin management. And it's just not the best that Jesus can do for us.
Yep. Yep.
It's not.
Yeah.
But it's hard because naturally we want to go about it that way.
Right.
We want things to be up to us. And I almost wonder if there's even subconsciously a part of us that, that wants a degree of justified boasting in our growth and our transformation.
Totally.
As if like I'm new and I'm growing and I'm being transformed and it's because how good I am at this.
Yeah.
It's like actually, that's not how it works.
Right.
It's purely grace.
Yeah.
Purely grace.
Yeah.
And the degree to which it's not grace, it's not going to happen.
Yeah, totally.
So.
Yeah. Earlier we were joking about how I was saying like I'm 34, almost 35. I have three kids. I've owned a couple homes. Like I'm pretty established in life, but I still feel like I'm like a fledgling, you know, just like, I don't feel like an adult. And I feel like part of the behavior modification, sin management thing is like trying to feel like a spiritual adult, like trying to feel saved. Mm-hmm. Like, okay, let me prove to myself and to God.
Yeah.
I have arrived. I actually am saved. Mm-hmm. I really am a believer, you know, but actually our rest, our being with the Lord is actually what makes us that, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, and it's the degree to which we mix law in with grace and the gospel is the degree to which we will be set off course.
Yep.
And, you know, because Paul warns against other gospels that people will preach.
Yeah.
And the thing about the law is like, you know, Jesus he said things like, well, a little leaven leavens the whole lump.
Yep.
And that's how the law works with the gospel.
Oh,
just a little bit of law sprinkled in will kind of have this effect where it changes the whole thing. And so a big part of this is removing ourselves from this concept of any form of law driven, works based, self effort driven transformation.
Yep.
And letting it actually just be a product of being still enough with the Holy Spirit.
Yeah.
And present enough with Him.
Yep.
To where He has access to those parts of us.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's interesting too, because it doesn't mean that behaviors don't change. And it doesn't mean that actions don't or even shouldn't change.
Yep.
It's just the wrong place to focus.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah, because they do. Yeah.
Yep.
One of the things I talked about last night, so I got into the belief cycle.
Yep.
And that has been like a major thing in my life.
Oh yeah.
I utilize that and I think about that frequently because we very naturally want to allow our beliefs and our expectations to be formed on the foundation of our experiences.
Right.
And it's really easy to do. And absent of the intentionality and awareness of how this works, that is how your beliefs will be formed.
Yep.
They'll be formed by your experience. And so it's finding a way to sort of hack that cycle.
Yeah.
And say, I understand, I know what I've experienced. I'm not denying the reality that I've experienced this really hard thing.
Yeah.
I'm not denying the reality that what I experienced hurt.
Right.
Right. It did. Things in life are going to be hard.
Yeah.
We're going to get hurt. Things are going to be challenging.
Yeah.
But it's finding a way to allow our mind to be centered around the reality that even when life's not good, God is good.
Yeah.
And it's trying to find a way to live in that tension.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Will you kind of quickly just describe that belief cycle just in case, you know, people who haven't heard it in your message?
Yes. Yeah. Good idea. So typically what happened is we have an experience.
Yep.
And that experience will lead to the forming of a belief. And so the example I used last night was, let's say I pray, you come to me and you need healing.
Yeah.
And I'm like, okay, I'll pray for you. I pray for you and you don't get healed. If I'm not careful, the experience of you not being healed will create a belief in me that God doesn't heal.
Yep.
Whether he doesn't heal or he just wouldn't use me to do that.
Right.
Some kind of belief will be formed if I let it on the basis of that experience. And so that belief, if I believe, okay, God doesn't heal anymore, my expectation is that, well, he won't heal.
Right.
And so that'll produce a behavior in me. And that behavior will probably look like not praying for healing.
Yep.
And that cycle will continue to go around. And that's why you have entire theologies like cessationism that get built. And they're not built upon anything scripturally.
Right.
They're built solely on the foundation of experience or even lack of experience of seeing signs and miracles and wonders and healing and deliverance and all that.
Yeah.
And so, if we're not careful, our theology and our beliefs about God and about ourselves, other people, the world, our circumstances will be formed on the basis of our experience.
Yeah.
And that kind of stinks because life is hard.
Right.
And everybody's going to experience hard things.
Yeah.
We're going to experience loss and pain and challenges
right.
and difficulty. And so, the thing that I've been working at in my own life is trying to figure out how to allow this cycle to not start with experience, but start with belief.
Yeah.
Because Jesus had this radical idea that whatever you believe and expect, that belief and that expectation will produce a behavior, which is the same as the other cycle. But rather than allowing experience to be the thing that starts the cycle, it ends the cycle.
Yeah.
And so Jesus is like, whatever you believe, ask for it in my name, and it will happen.
Yep.
And so you see that, sorry, one more thought, you see that all throughout Jesus keeps making these statements like, according to your faith, be it done to you. Your faith made you well.
Right.
He says that so many times throughout the Gospels. Yep. He always had a way of just relaying to people the idea that it was your belief that you acted on that produced this experience today.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And that's why I think it's so important just using just the spiritual discipline of being in the Word is so vitally important.
Hello.
Because otherwise... you're only going to believe what you hear a preacher say from a stage, you know, or a snippet on Instagram or whatever, you know. It's so important to learn and memorize even. Like, these are, like, things that can become, like, oh, no, I kind of look down on that. That's so legalistic. That's whatever. But actually, no. Like, it's truth and promises that we stand on in the midst and almost in defiance of those experiences that are trying to shape our belief system, you know. If we don't know the truth, what do you have to combat that?
Exactly.
If you don't know what to believe and you're just taking someone's word for it, well, you know, you could have some catchy phrase that like a pastor says, but if it's not like a scriptural thing, I can't hang on to that, you know?
Right.
But things that are in the Word, they're living, they're breathing, they have power behind them, you know?
Yeah.
So when, you know, you look at like the truth will set you free, it does, but it's not going to set you free if you don't know it, you know?
Right.
Like if you haven't heard the truth, well, how's it going to... How's it going to affect you in any way? You know?
Yeah, exactly. That is exactly it. That scripture provides a much better foundation for belief to be built upon than purely experience.
Yep.
Now, I do think that experience has an important role to play in that, let's say I've never seen healing before.
Yep.
I've never believed in it, whether I didn't grow up in the church or I just grew up in a church that didn't believe in it. And I find myself in an environment where that's happening.
Yeah.
I may not have come in with that belief, but the fact that I'm seeing that
right
take place, that will, you know, testimony plays a big role in the developing and building of faith.
Yep.
And so it's not to say that that the experience is an important part of it.
Right.
It's just that just because I have experienced something or have not experienced something in life doesn't necessarily make that the ultimate truth.
Right.
But we need to be rooted in the Word of God. We need to know what it says.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Yeah. One of the things that popped into my mind when you were teaching on that was before we had any kids, probably back in, I want to say maybe 2017, 2018, we had a miscarriage and it was just devastating to us.
Yeah.
As first pregnancy. And For me, I had dreamed for years about being a dad. I had great parents, so I always wanted to be one. And I remember just working through like being a pastor, being a believer, and seeing something as devastating as that happen. And I know like for people who haven't experienced a miscarriage, it kind of seems like, well, like I understand it's a disappointment, but I don't really understand the pain. That was me before we had a miscarriage. Yep. And then when it was like, you know, our child is dying, it's like a death of a dream in a sense, you know, so much hope, so much excitement, so much dreaming goes into finding out you have a kid on the way. And just noticing how Taylor and I just processed that, it would have been very easy if we weren't disciplined and didn't have a history with the Lord to believe that even when something devastating happens, it does not mean that it affects the goodness of God in our life.
Right.
And I think for us, really, if we had not had conversations about this, prayed about this, gone to get advice and wisdom on this, had encouragement from longtime believers on this, like that unfortunate circumstance would have sent us in a dark path way further away from the Lord, which actually would be the worst thing for us because in him we find like true peace in the midst of chaos and pain and disappointment. But as you were talking through that kind of like, do you let your belief define, you know, kind of the cycle of belief, you know, what is scripture? What is truth? What is my experience with the Lord? What is going to dictate my true deep belief? Is it going to be my experience or is it what I believe and know, to be true about him, you know? And the interesting thing about scripture is it never promises life's going to be easy.
No. In fact, Jesus says it's going to be hard.
Yeah.
You could expect some really hard things from being my follower.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And somewhere along the way in our theology, just, you know, not personally, but just in general in the church, I think our theology has taken us down this path of like, if it's good, then God's in it. If it's painful, then I'm outside of his will or God's just not good.
Right.
Looking for the perfect Airbnb getaway? Look no further than Maggie's Place, your ticket to an unforgettable stay in Sevierville, Tennessee. Nestled in the heart of the stunning Smoky Mountains, Maggie's Place is not just an Airbnb, it's an experience you won't want to miss. This charming 3-bedroom, 2.5-bath townhome offers all the comforts of home with a touch of Tennessee charm. Imagine waking up to the serene beauty of the mountains, sipping your morning coffee on the porch, and planning your day of adventures in the Smokies. And the best part is, Maggie's Place is just minutes away from all the attractions, dining, and entertainment that Sevierville has to offer, not to mention close to Pigeon Forge and Gatlinburg. Ready to make your Smoky Mountain dreams come true? Visit Maggie's Place on Airbnb today to book your stay and start creating unforgettable memories. For more information, contact Kim Balistrieri at 770-548-0902.
Right.
And I don't know where that comes from, you know, other than the belief cycle where what I'm experiencing is dictating everything else about my beliefs, you know?
Yeah.
And even planting a church, it never, like the idea and the analogy of planting is that you're getting this thing to take roots and keep growing forever, right?
Yeah.
And so the story with us planting a church did not go that way. It just never fully seemed to get roots in the ground.
Yep.
And 5 years of just like prayer, hard work, growing relationships in the community, and it just never took off. And I remember there were a couple years actually after that, especially the year after we decided, like, I really feel like God's lifted his grace off of this. And I just don't feel like, you mm-hmm. know, it's like our assignment anymore. Mm-hmm. I remember for the next year, it was like, I was battling all these things internally going, well, did I actually ever really hear God? Did God actually tell me to start this thing?
Yep.
And then it's like, okay, well, no, I believe he did. Okay, well, that leads me to my next confronting thought, which is, if he did, then why did he ask me to do something that would cause me such pain
yep.
and embarrassment or whatever, disappointment? Yep. So then, you know, you're confronting that going, well, mm-hmm. okay, well then that doesn't sound like a good father. So, mm-hmm. so then you're going through this other spiral, you know? And then, so you go the other way and go, well, maybe I actually didn't hear God. Okay. Well, now I'm confronting the thought that I've had this belief that I'm hearing from God all this time. Well, maybe I actually haven't. So then you start going down this other rabbit trail of all these other choices you've made in life going, well, I believed God spoke then, mm-hmm. but maybe he didn't. So there's like yeah. all these things that if you start allowing your experiences to dictate what you believe instead of starting from truth, mm-hmm. your life will spin wildly out of control
yep.
very fast.
Yep.
And the most important thing is our relationship with God. Mm-hmm. And so if you start allowing your experience to dictate your relationship with him, that is like, in my opinion, based on no science, no facts, no data, no research whatsoever, I would say that's probably the number one reason people walk away mm-hmm. from God.
Yeah.
You know, they expected one thing and those expectations didn't happen.
Right.
And so because they didn't happen, either God is not real or God is not who I thought he was. And so I'm just done. Mm-hmm. Instead of going, okay, let me actually dig into this, mm-hmm. you know, and really see, okay, what's actually in scripture? Mm-hmm. What is other people who have been around the faith longer than I've been alive? What's their experience? Instead of my one experience that didn't go how I thought it would,
yep.
tail spinning me away from him completely, which mm-hmm. is so devastating when you see that happen for somebody, you yep. know, they walk away and you just go, ah, you know?
Yeah. You said a lot of good stuff in there. Holy cow. I'm trying to think about where exactly I want to go. First of all, yeah, Katie and I, we can relate on the miscarriage thing. Yeah. And so, it is devastating.
It
like
is,
you said,
yeah.
that was probably one of, if not the hardest thing we've gone through,
yeah.
you know?
Yeah.
And so for us, because we knew we still wanted to keep trying.
Right.
And because we didn't feel like, you know, and we had ours, for those of you who don't know, just before, about a year before Oliver was born.
Yeah.
And so we had the two girls already and we didn't feel like we were done with two. And so, you yeah. know, we wanted a son or we just, you know, we wanted more kids. And so, you know, we experienced this miscarriage and for us, the challenge was moving forward. Once we get pregnant again, how do we allow our minds to stay centered around one, that God is good.
Right.
That he's not the author of pain.
Yeah.
And it's hard because he allows life to take the course that it will.
Yep.
And he will allow challenging things.
Yep.
And so it's how do I move forward fully believing that he's good and that he right. loves me and that he wants what's best for me. One, while I've experienced this hard thing, but two, moving forward, once we get pregnant again, how do I set up my mind in such a way that I don't expect
right.
the worst?
Right.
And so that's kind of the challenge of life yeah. with the Lord is, yep. and you're right. And I think that so many people walk away because they were not equipped. And I, you know, I'd like to put a lot of the blame on church leadership
yeah.
because I don't think churches have done a really good job at actually equipping people
yeah.
to live a life in which they are walking with Jesus and pursuing,
right.
pursuing the Lord. And so like absent of being equipped to handle these situations in life,
yeah,
you're right. Like by default, we're going to make all kinds of assumptions.
Yep.
Either God is not good or maybe he's not even real or, you know,
right.
it could take any number of shapes or forms.
Yeah.
And so absent of being equipped in knowing how to sit in the Word and how to be rooted in the Word and
yeah.
to be rooted in his love, absent of that kind of equipping, I think we're open to a lot of potential spirals
yep.
in life.
Yep.
And so, and I guess at the end of the day, the solution is read your Bible.
Yeah.
Spend time
yeah.
with the Lord. Pray.
Yeah.
and allow your mind to be formed around the reality and truth of who he is.
Yeah. 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 Sometimes, like, the number one thing a friend can do for you, or a spouse, or, you know, whoever, a parent, sometimes the number one thing that helps when you're experiencing something really disappointing or pain is just to be with them.
Yeah.
And sometimes I feel like, you know, when you're walking through, you know, a friend's going through something really painful, you get like hyper vigilant on like advice and, mm-hmm. you know, these cliches. We have a friend who, really close friends of ours, who just had a miscarriage. Mm. And just a kind of a crazy story of just kind of how everything happened. But we just said, you know, guys, we're so sorry to hear that. We love you. We're here for you. We understand because we've been there. And their response was, thank you so much for not sending us a cliche phrase to try and like make us feel better. Mm-hmm. They had someone tell them something like, well, you know, it's okay. Like, just obviously it just wasn't God's timing. Mm-hmm. So it's like instantly you're trying to pit them against God.
Yeah.
These like weird cliche things. And,
yeah.
And the same thing goes, I think, with the Lord, you know, mm-hmm. just being in his presence. Sometimes it's not getting an answer from him. It's not even sometimes, you know, going and finding an encouraging verse. Sometimes it's just being with him that restores your soul.
Yeah.
You know?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I love that. But yeah. And that's, you know, I think at the end of the day, and I think I said this last night, correct me if I didn't, but you know, with our spiritual formation mm-hmm. into the image of Christ, we're not looking to create a life that's easy.
Yeah.
Or void of difficulty or
right.
trouble.
Right.
Because Jesus promised trouble.
Yeah.
And so life is still going to have hard things, but as we allow ourselves to be formed into his image, it doesn't mean that hard things won't happen. It just means that we will have the capacity and the ability to respond to the hard things
yes.
with the mind and character of Christ.
Right.
Because people are going to still be difficult.
Yeah.
Right? No matter how formed we get, we're still going to be out in the world dealing with difficult people who
yeah.
are hurting and
yeah.
who are broken, who are struggling,
yep.
and they don't know another way of living and operating.
Right.
And so our formation is what gives us the capacity to go out into the world and interact with these people in such a way that we're not just reciprocating their brokenness, we're
right.
not reciprocating their pain, but that we're actually able to meet them with a piece of the kingdom
yeah.
and respond differently to the situations in life.
Yeah, yeah. People need that.
Yeah.
They desperately need that.
Yeah.
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 Yeah. My mind also goes to just the culture of, I'll call it self-serving culture.
Sure.
It's right now, it's just so in vogue to like drop anything that is not serving you. So
yeah.
cut off a family member, divorce that person.
Yep.
Find whoever's going to serve you and give you the life that you want.
Mm-hmm.
And honestly, that leaves room for like the most shallow relationships ever, you
yeah.
know? And I think with, you know, marriages that have lasted 20, 30, 60, 70 mm-hmm. years, you see two people who are willing to stick through it when it was hard.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
I mean, even if you're not at odds with each other, life itself has a way of putting pressure and tension mm-hmm. on a married relationship.
Sure.
And I think in the same way that it has kind of spilled into the culture of our relationship with the Lord too, where as long as he's serving me, as long as I can push mm-hmm. the vending machine button and yeah. out comes what I've asked for, then I'm out. It's not serving me.
Yeah.
When it's like, okay, hold on. Things are a little backwards here.
Yeah.
This isn't exactly how things work, you mm-hmm. know? And I think robust relationships are relationships that have gone through trial by fire,
mm-hmm.
you know, have yeah. gone through painful things together. Even relationships who have had tension with each other, you mm-hmm. know, it creates a robust, deep-rooted, I guess just a deep-rooted relationship when you have mm-hmm. purposely stuck together through those things. And I think it's the same thing with the Lord,
mm-hmm.
you know, coming back to just kind of this belief cycle, give the Lord time.
Yeah.
Give him time to process it with you.
Mm-hmm.
Give him time to shape your understanding of what happened.
Mm-hmm.
Don't expect him to give you excuses for why your life went,
yeah.
how it went.
Mm-hmm.
Just let him process it with you and let him be a father to you.
Yeah.
Let Jesus be a friend to you.
Mm-hmm.
Let the Holy Spirit be a comforter and a teacher to you.
Yeah.
And when we just expect God to be like this self-serving thing, and if he's not giving me what I want, and my life's not going, you know, ABC, mm-hmm. then we just drop him. It's like, man, you just missed it.
Yeah.
It's the same thing with a friendship, like a best friend or something, mm-hmm. a deep friendship or a spouse. Like, if you just don't give it time mm-hmm. and you don't work through the really hard things,
yeah,
you're just missing out. Mm-hmm. There's no other way to say it. You're just missing out on what could be on the other side of that really difficult thing you face together, mm-hmm. you know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's good. But yeah, that's what we're going after.
Yeah.
We're going after formation. We're going after becoming the type of people who have the capacity to live differently than the world would have us. Yeah. That the world would try to make us.
Yep.
Yeah. It takes intentionality.
Yeah.
There's responsibility on our side. And, you know, there's that saying I've heard Noah say it 100 times, that grace is not opposed to effort. It's opposed to earning.
Yes.
And so there is a bit of effort involved.
Yep.
And that's not the same as like a law based self effort.
Right.
You know, my own transformation is not contingent on my ability to change myself.
Yeah.
But the effort that I need to put into is in just learning what is needed.
Yeah.
From me. In this process, what is required of me?
Yep.
And the effort is just to do that.
Right.
So read my Bible,
yep.
pray, do those things. Yep. That's where the effort goes into.
Right.
The effort goes into creating a lifestyle in which I'm making myself available
right.
to the transformation of the Holy Spirit.
Yeah. It's not to please God.
No. Nope.
It's just, this is the life that we get to live mm-hmm. as followers of Jesus. Prayer is a benefit.
Yeah.
The word is a benefit.
Mm-hmm.
Gathering with the saints, benefit. You know, all these things just... they benefit and they shape our soul how we were designed to be.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. Good. All right.
Great.
Let's end it here. Cool.
Cool.
Appreciate it. Thanks for being here.
Absolutely.
All right, guys. Thanks for watching and thanks for listening. And we'll see you next time.